A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
This is the second Sunday in the month at Word Fountain Christian Ministry. We always have our Bible study. Amen. Hallelujah. And today is our Bible study. We should all have booklets, or we should have had the excerpt from the WhatsApp. Praise God. They're wonderful booklets when you see them. We're being encouraged to make a contribution towards the printing. Praise God. We do have Bible study groups.
You will do. That is what you will do. That is why you are called Jehovah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know we all want to go on. Praise God. In our Bible studies, welcome to our guests who have joined us. Praise God. We welcome you. I'm not sure if you had a chance to join any group, but as you hear the answers, I know that you'll be blessed also. But we do have booklets as well. You can take it away and just spend time going over God's word. And it's surely blessing in studying the word. Amen. And doing the word. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we were reading the main text, the actual text for February 2018. Our topic was declaring his wondrous deeds, Psalm 71:17. We are to declare, we are to pronounce, we are to announce, we're not to be silent. We are to announce his wondrous deeds. We're not to announce difficult situations. We're not to announce a negative report, but the word there to announce, declare his wondrous deeds. Amen. And hopefully we all read Psalm 71, or went through it anyway, and that's the main text of our study today. And we were also looking at our memory verse coming from Psalm 71. Hopefully we made the adjustment. It's not Psalm 17, as it was printed in our books. It's Psalm 71, from verse 17 to 18. That was our memory verse. I'm just going to read that. Psalm 71. 17 to 18. It says, O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Constantly telling others. It doesn't mean that there were other things not going on in David's life, but he constantly chose to tell others about the wonderful things God was doing. He said, now that I'm old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation. He understood he still had work to do. Old age was not an excuse that he couldn't do anything, but he knew there was still work to do. Praise God. It says, your mighty miracles. He was going to proclaim the mighty miracles to all who come after him. So he was not going to spend time arguing. He was not going to spend time quarreling at that age, but he was going to be spending time talking about God's mighty miracles to those who were coming after him. He was using that time, wisdom, making good choices through God's help. Because it's not always easy, but it's something you do, you pray in the morning. Those who come around me, let me edify. Let me give them something that will encourage them. Even if they don't come to you with good intention, by the end of it, let them go away thinking, wow, okay. The whole plan, whatever they intended to do, changes because of what you're declaring. Amen? Background, it says that awe of vastness, beauty and orderliness around us may be dimmed by the chaos, void and spiritual darkness and affect our view of God. However, David sees his life as a testimony of God's faithfulness and mighty deeds. Looking through his birth to his youth and extending it to his old age, he sees God actively at work. That's such a powerful testimony. Just a landscape of his life from youth, from his younger age to the old age, he's still seeing God. Amen? In the same vein, our lives are a testimony. Your life is a testimony of God's wondrous work from conception to salvation, to the end of life and afterlife. Praise God. And it's a question, like if we do an inventory or take stock of our lives, what do we see? When you reflect, when you're looking at your life, you think of your youth, you think of childhood, you think of from before you got here and where you are now. When you take stock, what do we allow ourselves to see? Are we seeing his goodness? Are we seeing God's mercies? Are we seeing the great things he's been doing in our lives? Or do we look at the negative things or things that don't seem to be working out for now? What area, what element are we focusing on? You know, there are people who will show you a white bit of paper and they'll put a dot. And when they did the survey, a lot of people's focus were on that one dot, while there was a big space of white paper. And sometimes that's how we look at our life, where there's so many things that people want to be in our position. They look at you and they think, I like her life. I like his life. But yeah, when we look at us, we don't see ourselves how God sees us. We're looking at those spots, those little things around, and I'm not belittling any situation. But in God's eyes, they are little compared to where he's taking us. And David was taking stock, and there were so many things that if anyone looked, they would have pointed at different areas of David's life, his failures. Why were you looking at another person's wife out the window? Why are you doing all of that? But David refused to see that. He only could align with what God was seeing for him. He was looking to God. All the enemies were gathering, but he was looking to God to say, you have delivered me before. And instead of using what we were saying in our group, David could have listed the enemy from this part, this enemy from that part. This is what they did last year, Lord. This is what they did this year. But no, he chose to say, I will praise you continually. My mouth is one for praise. It's not just to be using it, just to be complaining. And so he sees God still at work in his life, which makes others to wonder or marvel at how God deals with him. He is not overwhelmed by threats from wicked accusers, enemies, troubles, because he finds refuge in God. The Message translation says, it says, be a guest room where I can retreat. That's what he says to God. Be a guest room so I can retreat in you. Amen. Praise God. So we'll take the first question. I will start with, this is Philadelphia and Favor, praise God. It says, of what use is it to remember God's mercies and blessings? Thank you. There's a mic, please. Of what use is it to remember God's mercies and blessings? Is there anyone in the group to answer?
Right. Of what use? We mentioned or we agree that it is of very high importance to always remember of God's mercy and blessings, because that's where we draw our strength.
Yes.
That's where we receive our encouragement. Because looking back and we see the things God has done for us, it gives us strength even to face challenges for tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
When we remember of his mercies, as you just mentioned of David, he did not focus on his failures because he focused on God's mercy.
Amen.
And it gave him, you know, the power or the ability to see tomorrow in the eyes of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, sir. Were there any additions in any other group, or is that pretty much what mostly we had? Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you praising the Lord? Your hands are up.
We had it that when we remember God's mercy, it helps us to build a knowledge of who God is.
Yes.
And what he can do.
Amen.
And in that knowledge, it helps us to trust God. Amen. In new challenges that he can do more, better. And then we praise, it brings praise.
Amen.
From our mouth.
Amen.
To praise God.
Amen.
And then we are hopeful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. We agree with that. Yes. It is in difficult situation, remembering God's blessings, remind us of when God reminds us of to look to God instead and his help, our helper. It takes the focus away from our situation, but on a God that is mightier than your situation. It brings God into your situation. And somebody's in my group, just like Sister Antonia was sharing, it said thanksgiving. And we said, you give thanks rather than murmuring. Give your tongue, give your lips to thanksgiving rather than murmuring. When you give thanksgiving, you praise God. He inhabits that situation. Hallelujah. Amen. And where God is, there is joy. So something that would normally make you, where you're downbeat, you're not feeling particularly happy, but because of God in that situation, suddenly there's joy. You're actually going out to encourage other people. Because you use that to praise God, to think about the things he's been doing in the past. You worship him. Like David was saying, when you read the whole 71, He says he was talking about how he praised God, how God was mighty, how he was powerful. Amen. Praise God. And the next question is, do our needs of God change through the phases of life? I'm going to ask the covenant group. Do our needs of God change?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We said our need for God is constant over the phase of our lives, whether when we were children, you know, teenagers, and in adults. It remains constant. We need God all the time, yes. All through the phases of our lives.
Yes. Praise Thank God. You. Any other different thoughts or additions, Build?
We did look at it and said maybe the question, but our need for God changes in every stage of life. Our hope in God doesn't change. And that is what we come up with, that our need for God changes. And we mentioned a verse that says, when I was young, I asked for milk, but when I was old, I chew bones. So with the phases of life, our needs change. Every time we go through phase of life, the prayer of Esme will not be my prayer and will not be Pastor Duper's prayer. Amen.
I think there is, okay.
I choose to differ on that point, because actually that's the reality of life, whereby as human beings, yes, there are moments when we say, oh, I need God more than before. But actually it should not be like that. We should always know that God is always constant. God is always there for us. Although regardless of our needs, they might come in so many different positions, but let it be deep down in our hearts to know that God is always constant. He doesn't change. So we should be in that place whereby we should not say today, I'm relaxed because everything is going on well with me. And then tomorrow I say, oh, 20 days or 21 days of prayer and fasting. Because I need God more than before. I think we should reverse it the other way around.
Any other comment?
Praise God. I think I will echo what Mommy has said, which is at our various stages in life, our need from God, what we require of God, we vary with our circumstances. But our need of God is the same. God is there. He said he will not ever leave nor forsake us. So whether we think we need him, he's there. Whether we think we don't need him, he's there. Whether we fast for 100 days, he's there. Even if we choose not to fast, he's there. He said before we were born, we were conceived, he already knew. So he's there all the time.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Does that, Mr. Wale? Okay. A concise.
Yeah, there were a bit of debate in our group. I took them through to Psalm 139, uh-huh. from verse 13 to 14. And I said, even from conception, uh-huh. we know where God started with us.
Yes.
I said, even from conception, he knew and he helped, even from the womb.
Welcome.
So I took the group through that. So we read through Psalm 139 from 13 to 14, where we started from. And that leads us to every stage of life where we needed God, right from conception. So we needed God at every stage of our lives. So,
praise God. Amen. So our need for God remains the same. It remains constant. Our realization of the need of him is what probably changes, depending on how we grow in God. So if I was a younger Christian, as I'm growing, that understanding that I actually need him grows. But the fact that we need, the how much we need him, that doesn't change. It's the same. Hopefully that's clear. Yeah, so that's the same. So I know what you mean in terms of different situations, but it's about how it's looking at God rather than looking at our situations in terms of what we need in him. Praise God. Read and discuss verse 7. What makes you a wonder to others? If I go to, is that praise group? Praise God for you. Okay, so what makes you, so that question please, what makes you a wonder to others? Anybody to answer? Should we move it to another group? What makes you a wonder? Okay. Are you going, What did you, any point? Praise God. Should we come back to you? All right. Glorious wonders.
Okay. Sorry for that. Here we studied that wonder is a mystery that we cannot understand what it's down to the intervention. Wonder. It's because I did give an example saying the wonders of life. Why is he wonderful? I said, everyone here in life, like, we all go through, there is one thing each and every one of us can do that the other person cannot do. So that makes him a wonder. And the birth of Christ is a wonder. And our fingerprints, it's all different. And that's a wonder. Amen.
Praise God. In creation, there's a wonder. Any other? Okay. Our favor and Philadelphia group, if we have multiple hands, can we just sum up? Please, sir.
Yeah, and also feel that as believers, if we consider ourselves true believers, but the word of God even says that the afflictions of the believer are many, but the Lord delivers us from all. He didn't say some. So that alone gives us the assurance that we are different from, others. As believers, we continue to enjoy the mercies and blessings of God, which other people who are not believers might not enjoy. So his word is clear, that although our afflictions, you are a believer, it doesn't mean you won't go through afflictions. We go through them. But he says that he will deliver us from all, not even some.
Praise God. Amen. We are wonders. We are wonders to many. It doesn't mean we don't go through the same situations like David was sharing then. All the things he was going through, persecution from internally, from his family. He was denied his own kingship, the throne. So many people would have given up. So many people, there's so many, discouraged. He could have been killed so many times. At old age, there he is. He's still proclaiming God's goodness. In your life is to examine why you are a wonder. There's so many, if you think, there's so many things that could have came just to wash you out completely. So many things that some people are surprised. She's still there. He's still there. But only God's mercy. We had to think in our group and we're saying, what is God's mercy? Is God giving us the things we don't deserve? Because what does that mean? Because of our behavior, mommy came to testify. She says, it's not that I'm better than anyone. It's not because I'm more faithful than anybody. When we look sometimes, even us, ourselves, we have to give ourselves sometimes. If God gives us a pen, mark yourself 10 out of 10. If God gave us a pen, say, mark yourself out of 10. Some might say 11 out of 10, but me, I know I will not be 11 out of 10. But God does. I was reading this morning in Leviticus where it tells you all the things in those days that they will class you as unclean. And I marked myself out of that. I said, in that case, Lord, I'm not even fit to come through that door this morning. It's true. But it's because of his mercy. That's why we stand. We can go out to work. We can come back. We sit down. We eat. We were told about oxygen. We are a wonder. But the thing is, we are not to keep it quiet. When people wonder, you need to explain the wonder. Amen. You can't say, I'm a wonder, I'm being blessed, you're not being blessed. That's not why God is blessing us. He's blessing us so we can draw other people to him, so they can be blessed. We know John 3:16. That's probably one of the first scriptures we learned growing up. Why did he die? Not just for us. It was for the world, because he loves the world. And through us, he wants to reach the world. Praise God. If it's okay, I'm just going to go on because of time to Psalm 103. Amen. I'll just read that. Welcome. Psalm 103 verse 1. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With all my heart, my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me, not forget all his benefits. That was David. He's looking and saying, in all situations, everything happening, may I never forget God's benefits. Because he understood that it's easy to forget. When situations come, it's so easy to use our own mouths and tie ourselves even tighter. This will never be good for somebody.
this will never ever work out. It's never ever worked out. Why is it that I never, it was only always my case? No, my case is blessed. Why is it always somebody else's case that is always never working? It's never successful. In fact, I'm not going to start it. But David here is saying, you know, he was telling his soul, who will bless the Lord, you know? And he was looking, if you read the whole of Psalm 103, he was starting to count the things. Because sometimes you really have to look for things. I do with my daughter when we drive to school. If we're having a really funny morning, I'll say, all right, you start. And I know how she'll start with her young prayers. And she'll say, Mom, I thank God for the leaves on the trees. Mom, I thank God the sky is blue. Mom, I thank God the tree is not falling and crashing our car. Mom, I thank you people are not crashing on the pavement. And at first I start laughing, but then it builds up. Because you start from those rudimentary things. And you say, God, actually, I thank you that I'm able to breathe. I can open my window. Lord, I thank you that I could have diesel to be driving. And from there, you start to remember other things God has done. And yes, before, you probably focus on the person that cut you up on the road, that you almost be late for school run. But now you're focusing on God. And before I know it, the headmaster will see me and just go. Praise God. But because he's bigger than that little situation that you think. Sometimes I look at it, I say, so what if I'm 2 minutes late for school run? Will it end everything? But then it seems like the biggest thing in the world. But God just shows that he's mighty. The head teacher was smiling, I was like, go. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Some of our parents know what we're talking about. Praise God. But what am I saying? Hopefully, I'm taking it very basic. But we have to train ourselves to declare. You see, when there was a time I was thinking about the word proclaim. And the Holy Spirit put in my heart is to say, announce in advance. The truth is, there's no vacuum. If you don't announce in advance your future, the enemy is waiting to announce. And you have to block that. That's why when things go wrong, look at it as an ingredient. This is a platform for God to show his awesome wonder. Start talking about the awesome wonder. Start picturing the awesome wonder. My husband came to testify about his exam. We actually celebrated before he got the result. We got wine, non-alcoholic, and we sat around the table. And we had the glass. We were saying, congratulations for your success. Congratulations. We were going. We were dancing. If the neighbors say, why are you dancing? We say, we're dancing because he's passed the exam. Which exam? When did he pass? He's coming. We haven't seen the results. But we were dancing. So when he passed, my daughter went. She put the wine in the fridge. She said, Mom, we have to celebrate again. Because we told her, you start to celebrate early. So whatever the situation is going on, whatever, start to picture. Start to see your victory. Start to see what God sees. Don't, even if everyone else is not work for them, know that because of the God we serve, that's what makes us peculiar. That's what makes us unique. That's what makes us a royal priesthood. Because your case is different. It's beautiful. It's great. Because what God has prepared for you, even you cannot even imagine it. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's about declaring. How do we trust? We trust God by using his word as an anchor. We don't just have a very, you know, somebody was saying to me, there is hope that the world does, and there's a hope that we have that does not disappoint. That is, the hope that the world can have is, oh, I hope it's sunny today. You can wake up, it's sunny, oh, great. You can wake up, it's raining, oh, well. But the hope we have is a hope that's anchored in God's word. You know, the anchor, the ship, if you don't put it on an anchor, if you wake up the next morning, the ship will drift away. But if you have an anchor on that ship, you know when you wake up that next morning, the ship will be where you anchored it. And that's what the word of God does. So as we talk about God's goodness, it's even more solid when we find a word. And hold on to that word of God. And you're saying, I'm not letting go, I'm not wavering, till that word comes through, till I see what I want to see with this word. And God will help us. Let's just rise up on our feet as we thank God. Let's start to declare his goodness, declare his mercy. Thank him for bringing you here safely. Thank him for the reason we're here. We're here to have celebration. Let's thank him that you are part of celebration. The Bible says you should rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And you are here, you are able to rejoice. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank him for his goodness in your family, in your own personal situation. Even though it looks like it's not good yet, but just keep thanking him. That because you know goodness will surely come out of that situation. The Bible says God causes all things to work together for good. For those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. Ah, for your situation, only God that will cause it to work together for good. Father, we thank you that in all situations, it will work out for good. Father, Lord Jehovah, you will help us to trust you. We are thanking you for your goodness. We are thanking you for your mercy. We are thanking you for your love. We are thanking you for your kindness. Thank you for shelter. Thank you for provision. Thank you for carrying us through. It's not by our own might. It's not by our power. But it's by your spirit, oh God, that you will bless your holy name. Hallelujah. I don't know if there's anyone here who's anxious for one thing or the other. Is there something that has been on your mind that is worrying you? That you're thinking, God, just help me with this one. The Bible says we should be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication. While you are praying and you are trusting God, we speak against every anxiousness. We speak against every anxiety. Father, Lord Jehovah, visit the hearts. Visit the hearts of your children. Remove every anxiety. Remove every worry. Remove every concern. Replace it with assurance in you. Replace it with your peace. Daddy, oh God, shalom peace, whole peace. Replace it in our hearts, that we walk out of here confidently, knowing that we've handed that situation to you, oh God, for full control. And we know that anything committed to you, only good success will result from it, and no one can snatch it out of your hand. As we agree in prayer, handing all of those things to you, Father, it will only come back as testimonies in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Pray for the grace to be effective in witness. To proclaim of God's wonders in this year. We can read only because David proclaimed. If David did not proclaim, we'll have nothing to read. I don't know about you what you want to proclaim. Say, God, give me the grace. I don't know if it's shyness. Grace just means the ability to do the things that are supernatural, not beyond the natural. Maybe you're natural, you're a shy person, that you cannot go out and speak. You're too shy. But we're saying, let God's grace take over, that you will be one who is proclaiming wherever you go of his goodness, within your household, within your marriage, within your health, you will proclaim of God's goodness. For your children, you will proclaim only of God's goodness. In your job, you will proclaim only of God's goodness. For your settlement, you will proclaim only of God's goodness. In this year, you will proclaim only of God's goodness. You speak it. The Bible said death and life is in the power of the tongue. Which fruit are you going to eat? Speak life in those situations. Father, we bless your holy name. Father, we give you glory. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, you said the entrance gives light and understanding to the simple. Daddy, we speak light in every dark situation. Thank you for understanding, deeper understanding. Things that looked like it was confusing before, you're not an author of confusion. Thank you that your word has come to clarify. Thank you that your word has come to make whole. Thank you that this will not be last time this week we'll open your word. That you will give us the grace to study even more, to show ourselves approved unto you, Lord God. Father, we'll bless your holy name. We give you glory. We commit the rest of the service in your mighty hands. That we'll shout glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, because of your goodness. That we'll bless your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.